Who is there for heroes of the families left behind when a service member or first responder dies or is catastrophically injured in the line of duty? Who helps our country's homeless veterans? And who helps our nation to never forget 9/11? Let me tell you who: the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. The foundation's Gold Star, Fallen First Responder, Smart Home, and Homeless Veteran programs comprise their In the Line of Duty programs. They're all dedicated to honoring our nation's heroes and their families. The foundation's Never Forget programs engage people in 9/11 remembrance across America. Over 80 runs, walks, and climbs a year. Dozens of golf outings. And the Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institute is educating kids kindergarten through 12th grade to help our nation keep its vow to never forget. More than 95 cents of every dollar you donate to Tunnel to Towers goes to its programs. Never forget the sacrifices of our country's greatest heroes. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's what you missed on Buck Sexton with America Now.
On these issues and so many more, we're following through on our commitments, and I don't want anything to get in our way. I am fighting every day for the great people of this country. Therefore, in order to fulfill my solemn duty to protect America and its citizens, the United States will withdraw from the Paris Climate Accord Thank you.
He did it. He did it. Buck Sexton here with you all now. President Trump has withdrawn from the Paris Climate Agreement, and oh my, the reaction to this is complete freakout level from the left. I have to say, Trump attacked this thing on so many different levels: constitutional, legal, economic competitiveness, ethical. He attacked it for its redistribution. He attacked it for circumventing Congress. He attacked it for dishonesty on the part of the international community. I mean, this is one of my favorite Trump speeches. I will come out and just put my marker on this one and say that I thought it was great. I am so happy that the president went out and did this on many levels. First of all, he cited some of the figures that I told you yesterday about cost to the economy. He went into those numbers, and I'll give you some of those as well here in just a few moments. But the president established what you could call an America First environmental policy. The president no longer is going to be pushed into taking actions that do not benefit the United States, because the elites in this country would rather feel fancy and good about themselves than do what is best for this country economically and in terms of our industrial and commercial competitiveness. It's just, this is a fascinating issue because it's one where you see a complete divergence on the left from reality. They are delusional on this. Earlier today, I couldn't believe it. Well, I shouldn't say I couldn't believe it, but I found it initially hard to believe. There was Tom Steyer, who is a billionaire philanthropist, huge donor to a lot of the environmentalist groups out there. And by the way, if you look into this, you'll see that there are these environmentalist groups that seem like they are grassroots, but there are entities that are set up as middlemen to, in a sense, launder the source of the funds for these supposedly grassroots environmentalist concerns. So you've got some very, very wealthy people who are really just the high priests of the religion of environmentalism and climate scaremongering, of climate change belief, right? The people that are or is it climate disruption? Remember, they tried climate disruption for a while, but that seemed too... That seemed too manufactured. So now they're back to climate change. It had been global warming. So this is a scientific movement based on facts and numbers that don't align with what they say they will. So they have to keep changing the name of it. I would think that's a tip off. That would seem to me to be an indicator to which we should pay attention. But Tom Steyer, on his Twitter account, who's this guy's worth billions of dollars. Big Obama administration supporter. He writes, if Trump pulls the U.S. out of the Paris Agreement, he will be committing a traitorous act of war against the American people. I mean, this is the writing of a lunatic. I mean, that's insane. An act of war against the American people withdrawing from his climate agreement. So this climate agreement was so essential, I should note, that Obama couldn't even get around to it until his second term. This climate agreement that I should also note has no enforcement mechanisms whatsoever, this Paris Agreement. And you have people, here's another one. I mean, the reactions to this are priceless, and they tell you so much. You have Chris Hayes over at MSNBC on his Twitter account. The agreement quite literally imposes nothing. Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. Somebody with his own show, getting paid millions of dollars to go preach nonsense leftism to a largely ignorant leftist audience. Okay, the agreement quite literally imposes nothing, so then why be a party to that agreement? Is this just all about the symbolism? Well, if it's symbolism and it has a cost, maybe we should then look much more closely at what those costs are, because the benefits to us are zero, as far as I can tell. There's no benefit whatsoever, even if we had followed through on every aspect of the agreement. It would have made a negligible change on climate, and that's assuming that you accept all the premises from the start of the left about the models they have, the climate models, which have been wrong time and time again in the past. I always think it's fascinating too. People say, well, you're not a scientist, so you can't have an opinion on this. And then they trot out someone like Bill Nye, who's a undergraduate level mechanical engineer, not a scientist of climatology in any meaningful sense whatsoever, and speaks about issues on which he sounds like somebody who hasn't even read a 101 level textbook. But they say, you're not a scientist. And I always want to point out, first of all, on a matter of public policy, we just need an informed populace. It can't be, well, you don't get to have an opinion unless you have a PhD on this. Because what we see in this country increasingly are the PhDs don't know anything about the subjects that they have doctorates in. When we're talking about the humanities, they are making up their own language. They are making up their own statistics and numbers. They are not open to rigorous intellectual debate, where they're not open to true scholarship. They are just politicians in the robes of academics. They are pushing an agenda. And in the case of climate change, they are politicians in the lab coats of scientists, and they are pushing an agenda. It's nothing to do with the numbers, has nothing to do with hashtag science. This is a belief system. This is a belief system that has immediate political implications as well. It's a belief system for which they don't want a separation of church and state. In fact, if you believe in the church of climatology, there are immediate policy follow-ons that come from that, meaning that they can dictate to you stuff about your everyday life, wherever you are right now in the country, if the climate change crowd gets its way. They will be able to influence how much water you use, what kind of car you drive, how often you can drive, how much you pay to drive, what kind of electric bulbs you can put in, how much your electricity bill is, what kind of televisions you can have, how much water you can use on your lawn, what kind of trash you can throw out. And just, it goes on and on and on. Never mind the just theft that will occur through taxation in order to support projects under the guise of greening the planet or greening America, but is really just a massive wealth transfer. In the case domestically, or domestically speaking, it's a wealth transfer from the taxpayer to the government and aligned interests, environmentalist interests with the government. And globally speaking, from the developed world to the developing world. From, you know, what is roughly Western civilization and its allies to countries that could use a few more factories and a lot more electricity and a lot more carbon. Let's just be honest about it. In fact, if you want to push people on this issue, just say, fine, you're right. We shouldn't be allowing India to build all of these coal plants. They do spew out all of this smog. China shouldn't have such dirty energy facilities that are making the environment, creating all this smog. You know what they should have? Nuclear power plants. Nuclear power plant, that's terrible. That's the worst. Well, if you want energy on a vast scale that is efficient and that is not polluting the environment, you would want nuclear plants. But nuclear became bad, right? Nuclear was destroying the wetlands or would end the planet or, you know, whatever. You go back and you look at the environmentalist protests and the hysteria around nuclear plants in the 70s, 80s, and the 90s. They abandoned that. And now what do they want? They want wind farms. They want solar power. This is, in a sense, similar to the sustainable food movement, whereby people in urban centers of this country or who live around on the periphery of urban centers think that they are wise and worthy and better people because they get non-GMO, meaning non-genetically modified organism food that comes from nearby farms that is brought into them. And they think, well, this is sustainable because it doesn't use chemicals. It doesn't travel large distances. What they don't realize is that if the entire world ate the way that they did or tried to eat the way that they did, much of the world would starve to death because you can't produce vegetables and produce and meat and you name it at the scale necessary to sustain the billions of people on this planet. If you do it in a way that the hipsters of Manhattan and Portland and Brooklyn and L.A. and you name it like to eat, a similar mentality is pervasive on all this climate stuff. They don't want to do it themselves. I mean, even the most vocal climate change alarmists don't want to change their own lifestyles. They want to change yours. They want to tell you what to do. They want to force you. And they are lunatics on this issue. I mean, there are plenty of people out there who believe that climate change is, in fact, on the same plane of depravity as Holocaust denial. Climate change denial is on the same plane as Holocaust denial. That's why they say climate deniers. You'll notice that. That's not an accident. Because you want to destroy the planet. Who could be so stupid as to believe this? This is one of the greatest cases of mass hysteria and brainwashing in the history of the United States. I've never seen anything like it. People who otherwise are normal and sane on issues, who, by the way, can't remember a word of whatever 1 or 2 years of science they took in high school, know nothing about science, but become indignant the moment anyone asks any questions about the science of climate change, become indignant when people point out that these climate models have been wrong time and again in the past, want to wag a finger in your face and perhaps even fine you or throw you in prison for the crime of questioning their so-called science. They put forth clowns like Al Gore as the spokespersons for this, like Bill Nye as the spokespersons for what they believe is an existential struggle for the human race. You'd think they could do better if this were so serious. But really, ultimately, it comes down to two things. The most powerful motivating forces of the modern liberal mind: self-righteousness and control. And climate change is the perfect merger. As an issue, it is the perfect merger of those two very important concepts to the progressive, collectivist, statist left. They get to be so self-righteous, they're saving the planet, they're better than other people, they're better than those hillbillies who don't believe in this, not in this stuff. And they get control. They can enact endless government policies. There is no end to government meddling when they are trying to save the planet with that meddling, don't you see? No longer can you claim states' rights or even representation in the federal government via the Congress. That doesn't really matter, does it? We're talking about saving the human race, people. They are crazy. And what's amazing to me is they think I'm nuts. They think you're crazy. Very hard to have a worthwhile conversation with people when they're so far apart on it. All right, well, I want to get into the specifics of what Trump said and also some of the most bizarre responses to this whole thing, which is, it is a lot of sound and fury signifying nothing, my friends, as the Bard once wrote. This is crazy talk. I mean, it's an agreement that quite literally imposes nothing. Let me just say this about it. This Paris Climate Agreement does nothing but somehow means everything to Democrats in this country. How is that? Someone make sense of that one for me.
Like us on Facebook. Just search Buck Sexton.
Since 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been committed to supporting our nation's first responders and veterans, heroes who put their lives on the line for our communities and our country. Heroes like U.S. Army Major Jonathan Turnbull. Major Turnbull sustained devastating injuries at the hands of an ISIS suicide bomber. The complete loss of his left eye, a puncture to his right eye, he needed more than 20 surgeries and countless hours of rehabilitation. Tunnel to Towers paid off his mortgage and gave him a specially adapted smart home designed for his needs. He moves around his home more easily now. His home also gives him hope. With help from people like you, the foundation supports families like the Turnbulls. Join Tunnel to Towers in supporting America's heroes, our nation's catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, homeless veterans, Gold Star families, and the families of fallen first responders. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's t2t.org. 95 cents of every dollar goes directly to their programs.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.